It's Great Mondays Radio. I'm Josh Levine, your host, founder of Great Mondays. We help executives from hypergrowth technology and social enterprise organizations build cultures that attract, engage, and retain top talent. If you'd like to be a guest on our program, hang out for about 20 minutes and I'll tell you how. Hey everybody, welcome back to Great Mondays Radio. It feels like everything is changing all the time, and that's probably because it is. We are living in change and we don't even know what's coming. And what do we do about that? Today on the program, we have Paige Harrison-Massey. Did I say the last name correct?
Harrison-Massey. All the pronunciations are valid.
Okay. Paige Harrison-Massey. We even practiced that before we started recording.
All good.
She is a corporate leadership advisor and certified coach and master's candidate in org change. She's worked at talent acquisition at Goldman Sachs and McKinsey. She worked in private equity and was head of studio ops, head of people, org effectiveness at some VC startups. So she's been through it all. And she is thinking a lot about change and how to manage that both at an organizational level and an individual level. So we're going to talk, we're going to get a little bit deeper into how to deal with our own stuff when the world around us is so uncertain. Paige, thank you for coming on Great Mondays Radio.
Thank you for having me, Josh. This is fun.
So you have been inside of orgs for a long time and now have stepped out. You want to have an impact from your kind of own position, your own seat on more leadership teams. And we live and swim and breathe in this uncertainty that we don't know what the hell is coming and how do we deal with it. So talk to me a little bit about your own experiences around managing your own stuff, your own energy when shit is crazy. Where did you start from and what are you learning? How do you bring it forward?
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing to say about this is I am very much still learning. And I think that when it comes to change, you know, clearly nobody has the answer. And that's in some ways what makes this idea so scary, right? And you know, you look around, whatever the topic is, whether it's, you know, geopolitical change or technological change and, you know, the AI of it all, right? Or organizational change. I think a lot of our first instincts as individuals is to sort of hold on tight, right? And to try to get some control. And I will speak for myself. This is my first instinct as a human to like, you know, to get a handle on, okay, well, how do I make sense of the thing? And what are the bullet points? And, you know, what's the slide deck that I need to present to my team in order to get, you know, them calm down in order to execute the thing that we have to do to drive the results, right? And so, and that all makes sense. That's, you know, that's very human. You know, I think that, you know, and I think that it, for me, it's like, I can run 1,000 miles an hour down that path and really quickly burn myself out, actually, right? And so, you know, one example I'll share is earlier in my career, I was, you know, I was a newer manager and first time manager, and I was dealing with a lot of change. I was dealing with, you know, a newer team and trying to sort of bring everybody along on some really, really important initiatives. And I was also at a point where in talent and recruiting, I was thinking about, hey, maybe on a personal level, I'm changing and I want to think about, you know, broadening my skill set and doing other things and, you know, to impact organizations. I love recruiting. I love talent. It's always going to be my bread and butter, but I'm growing and I want some new opportunities. And I had this really great like speech planned for my then manager to kind of say, you know, to lay it all out for her again, to just control
your manifesto. You're like, this is, like, I'm worthy of this. This is what my plan is. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And what actually ended up happening is I walked into her office fully ready to give my big
Yeah.
speech, and I opened my mouth and I just burst into tears. And I just was like, I just remember saying, I think some permutation of like, I don't think I can do this anymore. And
The
she just,
opposite.
blah, 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 you know, and she just kind of looked at me and went, huh, maybe we should sit down and just ha and just really talk about this. And so I think, you know, I think about that and I share that on an individual level because I think for me, there was so much change going on internally and externally with my
Yeah.
team in the organization that it was, you know, it really snuck up on me and trying to control it all, you know, spoiler, like it didn't work. And I think I would have been better off had I just kind of taken a step back and gone like, okay, things are really uncertain right now. And like, where am I in all of this? And just given myself a little bit of breathing room and a little bit of space to just work through that before jumping to act and problem solving. And I think
Yeah.
that's really, you know, that's really hard for a lot of us to do when we're all so in problem solving mode all the time.
Right. So I have heard many times this idea of bias to action, bias for action, right? And it's like, we're going to proclaim this as one of our things that we do here at this startup or whatever it is. And what I hear you saying is, we take that on personal. I mean, that's just good, being a good, worker is bias to action, but we're not as aware of things as of our own stuff, and maybe we need to step back. How have you evolved from that moment? Like, what do you do? And acknowledging where you're working on it, we're all working on it, but how do you become more aware personally? How do you, Paige? Like, what is it? Is there something that you do that is more that has helped you to become more aware?
I think it's really important to find the checks and balances that work in my own life. So, for example, I'm really fortunate to have, you know, a good husband and a good set of a couple of friends who actually have designated this as a little bit of their responsibility, who I trust, who
Yeah.
can kind of pull me in and go, hey,
Yeah.
you're
You feel
spinning.
a little much right now. What's going on? Call it to call you out.
Or to call you out, or you know, to call me in, right? Or whatever. And to say that to me. I have been, you know, I'm thinking of one team in particular where we had enough psychological safety and trust on that team in an organization, where we could sort of sense that in one another, and we had spent a lot of time up front building that sort of relationship and trust. And this was a team that, through the pandemic, you know, we'd been
Yeah.
through it, and so we had forged that ability to be able to say, hey, it seems like you're maybe not really okay right now. You're really, you know, and let's have that conversation, and just being able to foster that awareness for one another is so huge because you really can't do it yourself. You've got to lean other people. And then of course there's the habits aspect of it also. For me, getting to the gym and having, I'll come back to this idea of fitness, but physical fitness is important to me to keep my mind clear and sharp so that I can recognize, you know, my own tendencies to the best of my ability, and the getting enough sleep and the nutrition. You know, those are personal habits that for me
Yeah,
I try
lean
to
on.
cultivate. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, so one, what you're describing, I'm hearing a little bit about, or I'm learning for the first time, and it turns out that we're actually, as humans, not very good at having that awareness. And you can try, and you certainly should, but the hack or the practice is actually what you just described. Who is around you that can actually point that out to you and identify when that's happening? Because you, by definition, are sort of in your own place, right? And so, and what I liked about both of your examples, you've got personal, husband and friends, and professional, a trusted team. You were very lucky to have that. Not everybody has that, but to find a group that can say, hey, that you can even give permission to and say, hey, when things get really intense or whatever, when you see something, like, hey, call it out.
And the permission aspect is often key. And I see that also, and when I advise leaders,
Yeah.
it's harder and harder, right? When the more senior you get, the fewer and fewer people are often willing to say that to you. And
Tell me when I'm going off the rails here.
right. And you really need to be very, very clear about that permission and giving that permission and then reinforcing the thank you when they take you up on it, right? And
Yeah.
and so that's
Yeah.
really huge because it's so easy to otherwise fall into the, oh, well, everything's perfect. I'm doing great, and let's keep running faster, 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 faster. And then
Yeah.
all of a sudden you have, a huge change management problem or a much bigger
Right.
on your hands. Yeah.
Yeah, as you rise in the ranks, there are fewer and fewer people that are willing to reflect the truth back to you. And so you have to actually give that permission, but also I would say assignment,
Yeah.
right? Like endow those people with that capacity and ability.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah, and then the other thing, just to make sure we acknowledge it, are those habits. There's so many things that we cannot control,
Yep.
and this is a mantra for me. So many things we can't control that we need to be diligent about the things we can control. So you're talking about sleep, nutrition,
Yep.
exercise, right? Like those are things, and I'm not saying they're easy,
Yeah.
but it is, you do have the capacity to control those things.
That's right. And yeah, you had, I was a, I call myself a swammer. I was a swimmer in college, and I had a recent epiphany that I work like I swim with this whole, I would, my 200 freestyle for any swimmers in the audience, I was my main event, and I would jump out, and like the way I raced that race was I would swim really, really fast with adrenaline and speed for about like 125 yards or meters, and then around that time, like clockwork, I would sort of, there would be a dip in my head. I would just sort of
Drop off.
drop off, and then all of a sudden I was like, oh God, and then I would just hold on for dear life and try to win the race or whatever. And that's absolutely how I approached work for a really, really long time. And now, as I've moved into this independent consultant life, I've had to really think through that and go, okay, well, how do I not do the version of
Of that,
that here
yeah.
and really make sure that I'm going back to this managing your energy thing, show up for my clients first and foremost in the very best way and provide them the best version of me I can and make sure that that 125
Yeah.
is preserved and they don't get the
The
last 25.
less, yeah,
God
exactly.
forbid. Yeah.
Struggling through. It can feel, so here's how I'll bring it into the moment. It can feel like, or I'll just personalize it. For me, everything's moving so quickly, and it can feel like you're, go back to swimming, swimming upstream. It can feel like you need to paddle harder, right? You need to do everything all at once. And it is still, no, we're still only human, and we cannot, right? It's like there's so many, only so many things we can put in the day. What, so you're saying you're trying not to do that. So what specifically are you, like, how, what is your practice like in order to counter that either reflexive desire or inherent intuition to, like, work really fucking hard,
Yeah.
right? What do you, how do you
Well,
manage that?
yeah. Well, I think first of all, I still consider myself someone who works really fucking hard. Like,
Yeah.
full stop. I think I just work differently than I used to. So for
Huh.
me, working really fucking hard doesn't mean working 10 to 12 hours a day without like an eating lunch at my desk anymore. It used to.
Yeah.
And in my 20s, I guess that was okay because I don't know, I didn't know any better and I had the energy for it or whatever, and that's just what I did. But now I'm in my 40s and I don't accept that, and two, I have changed my, my body has changed, my life has changed. I'm not interested in that lifestyle. And so my version of working really, fucking hard is like, let's do this in very intentional spurts and doses and be very clear about when that happens and when that works on my Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and mostly, pieces of Fridays. And when I'm not doing that and when my balance time is for rest or spending time with family and friends or rooting for my sports teams or reading my books, yet I don't read enough. And just thinking through that balance every day and week and making sure my calendar reflects that balance and that there is literal blocks of time carved out for like do not schedule meetings because you just had a slew of meetings all day the day before. And it's just, yeah, it's that kind of stuff. So in the long run, that builds sustainability and it prevents me from that moment of I don't have a boss anymore to walk in their office and cry, but like it prevents me from
That
that
breakdown's going to
moment
happen
of
whether you have a boss or not, if you're
probably.
like that. Yeah.
But I think it
So,
would be up better. Yeah.
people might say, Paige, you work for yourself
Yes.
and you can block out all the time that you're, hoping for. How does one, like, is it possible? I will ask with a wink, which you can see if you're watching on YouTube. How is it possible for someone who is working for another, or I mean, within an organization where you have other people's calendars and other, like, what is that environment? You've been now been in both.
Gotcha. Yep.
How do you manage that when you're getting the holy shit, this just happened, or we got to have an
100%.
emergency meeting, or whatever? Like,
100%.
and it's just emergency meeting after emergency meeting.
Yeah, well, and look, to be clear, that I think that that's going to happen. That happens to me as an independent person too, right? Like I have emergency meeting. My client called me the other day and I had emergency meeting, right? So I don't think I think the question is what no matter how your job is set up or whether you are the CEO or an entry-level analyst or whomever, everybody's accountable to somebody. And even as I'm a team of one, I'm accountable to myself. One can argue like if I don't work, I don't get paid still, right? Like that's kind of a problem. So, there's always a conversation to be had with those people who are working or with you around you and you are accountable to around what are the results that matter, the metrics that matter, the deliverables that matter, and how do I deliver that best for you over time, and how do I do that in a way that I can sustain. And that keyword sustain, again, I think brings the balance conversation into the forefront. And I worry sometimes that the work-life balance conversation gets skewed. It's so well-intentioned and it's so needed and it's so right, but sometimes we say it so much that it falls on deaf ears now because it becomes about like, well, people don't want to work hard anymore, and they're taking all this vacation, blah, blah, blah. And it's not that at all. It's about no, people want to work. People want to, feel proud of what they do. And there's I think still a lot of desire and energy to show up and produce and be, accountable in the same way that there has been for hundreds and hundreds of years. But the difference is, I think the conversation has shifted in ways that just aren't as healthy and productive. And if we can get back to this idea of how do we sustain it over time in a world where things are consistently changing and bring the focus back to there are all these demands on our time and let's focus on what matters and doing it in a way that I can be doing this for a while. I think everybody wins.
Yeah, I mean, there's two levers to pull or modes to activate here. So you've got your I think proactive, I'm going to be working in these blocks, and you're setting that time, which I think is a good practice, right? It helps, and as humans, we're pretty good for give or take 45 minutes or however, right? Like those are good little working sections for us. So you've got that, but you also have to play defense
Sure.
And you have to, and I think we do have this good tool of your calendar and basically saying this is a, non-negotiable.
Yeah.
And we even have now, AI calendaring tools that can say as things block out, get blocked out, that means that this thing has some buffer time or can move
Yeah.
around, which I think is also can be helpful, but it ultimately needs to be backed up
Does.
by the individual and say, look, this is, I'm protecting my time. I understand that there's this emergency, I can't do it, or whatever it might be.
Yeah, I think, and I think the backup, to me, it does come back to the key to me is finding the way to have the healthy, and this is a longer podcast that we don't have time for, but
The next one, part two.
the part two, right, is the do you have the trusted and psychologically safe environment in which to have the conversation with your boss that says, hey, I am trying to protect my time, not because I'm trying to thwart the efforts of the team or whatever, but not because I don't understand the business goals or don't care, but because I'm in fact trying to act in service of myself and everyone else. And let's talk about how we can achieve both, right? Because again, I think that's where this, everyone's got agency and should. And calendar blocking is a great tool, but I've seen the problem come in sometimes where it's like either you block your calendar, an emergency comes in, and it's like, well,
So much for that.
so much for that, right? And then there's, the person whose calendar blocked, it's like it might as well not have even been there. And then things sort of fall down. And so how do we prevent that? Well, again, it comes back to this idea of, okay, what are we really having a conversation about here? We're having a conversation about agency and time. We're having a conversation about energy management and how do we not burn ourselves out? How do we still get the things done that matter and the tension between those things? So again, bigger stuff that I'm sure future and past podcast guests have many things to say. Yeah.
It is, I try to be consistent. That's kind of my piece of this is, but there is always like, we need to hit this quarters. I'm gonna ask a little more of you this quarter, and you're like, there's only so many quarters I can, give extra. So one of the concepts that you and I have talked about and been floating around here is this replacing the idea of change management with change fitness. Is this so? This concept is we just are in it now. It's not just a one-time event. So, what can we pull or learn from this idea of just being ready for change into our own personal lives since we're going? Since we are talking about how we manage that, like what is, there is that shift organizationally, and we're all still working out what that might mean for each organization. But what does that mean for an individual? Because, like you said, this happened to you in 2015. You were still struggling, right? Where are we 10 years later? And it can feel even more intense. Is there anything that we can learn from this kind of, I guess I'll say paradigm shift, but in the kind of the world, right? Work world and world outside of work.
Yeah, I would say so this idea of change fitness, and I don't quite know who to attribute it to, but it's I find it really interesting because it does change the paradigm. We have all these great established change management frameworks, right? Like there's there's Kotter and there's all these, the eight steps and the multiple different versions of that that are great and they're not wrong, they're very useful, but many of them have in common that they sort of treat change like a project or like an isolated event. And I think in 2025 we are all living it. Change is constant. It's just and we all have this change fatigue. And so to counteract the change fatigue, we need to build up our change fitness. So to your question, how do we do it? Well, I don't think again nobody has the playbook. But I suspect that a couple of thoughts or ideas might center around, again, this idea of as individuals focusing on the things that we are that bring us energy and understanding and following that energy and understanding what brings us energy and what does not. So that can ready us for the constant evolution of change. Being aware of the impulse around control and having those, again, those accountability buddies in place and the doing what one needs to do to take care of your physical and mental health to set you up to have those checks to go, oh wait, I'm doing the control thing again. Maybe instead of leading with control, I need to lead with a little more curiosity, right? Which is it's a this is hard. I'm not saying this stuff is easy, right? But being a little more loose rather than a little more tight is actually a change fitness muscle. And then I think, again, just as with anything that's hard, I think the power of community and conversation is just so helpful and healing, and just being able to sit in the same space with other people who see the same thing in the world and be able to talk about it and share experiences and stories and go, man, how are you thinking about this? And how are we, what are your experiences? And what's your version of like crying in your boss's office when it snuck right up on you and you had no idea? And just the recognition that you're not alone in this is, I would say, let's not underestimate it as we all build our individual team and organizational playbooks and plan for change over time.
So, start to finish, I think our conversation about the your oneself, your individual managing that really comes back to actually being a conversation about surrounding yourself with others so that it isn't just an individual activity, because at the end of the day, we're just not as individuals as strong as we are, as resilient as we are as groups, and we need other human beings, and whether that is personal or professional, it kind of doesn't matter. You just need people to be able to be with, to share with, and to be able to, go on the journey together. I'm gonna think about that, expand that out to what that might mean for teams and organizations too, but I think that's a whole nother piece of the conversation we'll need to get to next time. Paige Harrison Massey, Corporate Leadership Advisor and Certified Coach. She is now out on her own, doing her own thing. You can learn more at partnerwithpaige, PAIGE.com. Very enlightening, very interesting to talk with you, and very grounding and centering. I feel much more I don't know, settled after talking to you. So
Oh,
that
thank you.
speaks
That's
to
such
your, that speaks, I think, to your capacity as a coach. Maybe that's what's coming forward here. I
that's
don't
such
know.
a that's a wonderful compliment. Thank you. Thank you, Josh. Appreciate it.
Awesome, Paige. Thanks for coming on Great Mondays Radio. Really wonderful to have you.
Oh, likewise, great to be here. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Great Mondays Radio. Hey, if you want to be a guest, head over to radio.greatmondays.com. And if you think this episode was interesting and your friends and fans would enjoy it, please share on social media. And if you want to get more people to understand the power of company culture in business today, please rate and review Great Mondays Radio on your podcast feed. It really helps us reach more people. If you want to hear more candid conversations with culture leaders, subscribe to Great Mondays Radio. I'd love to connect with you. Find me on LinkedIn at AKA Josh Levine, on YouTube at Great Mondays, and you can always email me, josh@greatmondays.com. Find out more about our work with hypergrowth technology and social enterprise organizations at greatmondays.com. I'm Josh Levine. Thanks for listening to Great Mondays Radio.